So good afternoon, everybody. So the two, not just verses, two chapters I've been given actually, Ecclesiastes 8 and Ecclesiastes 9. Now, if we just read them, that would take about 15 minutes. So what I will be doing is in the sermon, rather than just reading it all, I'll refer to some of the key parts of those particular chapters. But a bit of an encouragement, do go away, do read the chapters in full in your own time as well. But I'm going to pick out some of the key ones in there. Ecclesiastes then. The books contain the thoughts of a philosopher who we attribute to King Solomon traditionally. And King Solomon, particularly in his old years, he began to look around at the world around him and consider how unfair life seemed to be. And how short life seemed to be. We often think about, of course, there is a season, don't we? Ecclesiastes 3. But as we move on, we're going to have a picture now of some of the ways that he looked at the world and thought, that's not fair. Some of the ways that he looked at situations. He looked at people and saying, it just doesn't make sense. So we're going to unpack a little bit of that as we reflect today. Solomon couldn't really understand the ways of God. He tried to serve God, but he didn't quite understand things. But he did understand that God controls human destiny. And I'm certainly glad of that in my own life. He knew that God was in sovereign charge. So he advised people within his writings to work hard and enjoy the gifts of God as much and as long as they could. We need to remember as we're looking at some of these Old Testament books that Solomon, of course, didn't know of Christ. He didn't know of God's plan of redemption. So his theological understanding was much more limited than our own. But he did know God to be God of all things, and that's important. Sometimes we lack this let God be God's attitude. We live in this age where there's fast food. As instant payments, people can just type anything into Google, whether it's the truth or not, finding answers. And now, of course, we've got this artificial intelligence, haven't we? Which is just annoying because it's telling you all sorts of nonsense. But how often do we realise we only know a fraction about God? Some people, of course, they want to know about God, so they invent things. They say all sorts of things about God which do not fit in with the word of God. And they will tell you, well, surely God thinks this and surely God would do that. But we have the word of God to set us straight. Too many people, instead of worshipping and following God, do not realise that they need to see the God who is revealed to us in the Bible. So Solomon then, in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 2, says this, obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. We don't just follow the king, do we? We don't want to follow the king necessarily at times. Some of the things that are being said in public circles. But we follow the King of Kings. We follow Jesus. We follow his commands. We follow the things that Jesus says. There are times when we don't understand the twists and the turns of life, but we still submit ourselves to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. As a child, my parents went through a really difficult time. My mum at the time had cancer. She did recover. She's still with us today, but my mum had cancer and it was quite a difficult time. And they'd only been Christians for a short amount of time. They were still in the 30s and 40s. And my dad tells a story of how my mum had just got her diagnosis and she'd been told that she had cancer and myself and my brother were quite young. She was really worried. What would happen if she didn't survive? What would happen to the family? Who would look after us as young children? And my dad said he got into the lift there and they were just silent between, just the two of them. And then a porter came in and the porter started humming. And the porter was humming Amazing Grace. And my dad, even then as a young Christian, young in Christ, in his 40s, He said he knew that God was speaking to him. He knew that God understood the difficulties and the period that he was going through. He understood that he needed to just trust and let God be God. As we read the Ecclesiastes, often Solomon's thoughts can appear negative. We can see things and think, that's a little bit depressing, what's that there for? But part of our search to know God more is to reflect. It is to ask questions. That's a healthy thing to do. We know the Bible is the source of all our information. It's the source of all our answers. But that's too why we have Bible studies. That's too why we unpack the Word of God during a service. It's realising that the hope that God gives is found in the Word of God. The things that Solomon worries about and laments about are familiar to us all. On one hand, we know and we live truly in the hope that Christ has died for us. We know that to be true. He's conquered sin, he's conquered death, and for those of us who've received him, we have eternal life. But being a Christian, life on earth can be difficult. It can be puzzling for us. Sometimes, although we know that Jesus is coming back, we know there's a wonderful future ahead for all humanity who trust him. We turn on the news and we see wars. We hear about the violence in the world around us, locally as well as internationally. We see terrorism. We see laws being passed by governments, all sorts of governments which are not in line with the Word of God. And we think, why, Lord? Why have you let that happen? And we puzzle over that. We've more than likely at some point in our life wondered why the people around us are lying, they're cheating, doing wicked things, and then seem to get away with it, even prosper. I live in Middlesbrough. I've got a church in Stockton, work in Saltburn, but I live in Middlesbrough. And near my local shop there, the shoplifters literally walk into the shop, they will take things off the shelves, and the assistants behind the counter have been told not to tackle them for their own safety, understandably. It's horrendous. They will literally walk in, take something, and they'll walk away with it. And it's so unfair, isn't it? It's terrible. And I think, why is that happening? Why do people seem to get away with their crimes? Solomon looked at that. Solomon in chapter 8, verse 11, says, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. It can feel that despite our doing good, standing for righteousness, seeking to be more like Jesus, we can feel that we are struggling on at times. We're going against the tide. In Jesus' prayer for his followers that we find in John 17, 14 to 16, we realise that his hand is upon us, even if we live in a wicked world. So John 17, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We're called to live in a world which is different from God's values. We're called to live in a world which at times can be hard for us. And we do struggle with those things around us. But even then, Jesus prayed for the believers then and future believers too. There is a difference between the life we live in here on earth and the life which is to come for each one of us who are in Christ. We're going to have eternity with God, and that will be exciting, won't it? Eternal life actually began the day you committed your life to Jesus. And maybe that happened when you were very young and you can't point to a particular time and day. That's okay as long as you've done it. But there's a sense in which We live eternal life now, but we'll experience the fullness of that in eternity. I almost imagine myself having this conversation with God and looking at things that have happened in my own life and the world when I've been here, and the Lord saying, this is why I did this, and this is why I did that, and it's for my glory. Anyone who's addicted to something, and sadly people are addicted to all sorts of things, aren't they? Be it drugs, materialism, pursuit of wealth, will find a short-term happiness in it. They may enjoy the hit that a drug brings, a nice car that wealth brings, or a luxury holiday they can go on. But it soon wears off, doesn't it? That pursuit is short-term and has no eternal fruit. And at times it feels like life on earth is a waiting game. And it feels like the enemy gets away with all sorts of things. But Solomon notes this in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 12, and he says, it will be better for those who fear God. The enemy tries to sow all sorts of doubt of God's goodness. And almost says to us, why are you following this? And people around us, what are you going to church for? Why are you following God? But we know the truth, don't we? Ecclesiastes 8:14. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. It's not a new phenomenon. Eve was tempted in the garden by evil, by doubt, and we know how that story ends. And we have all been tempted in our lives. It's important that we stand firmly on the truth of God's word, what has been revealed to us. The promises for eternity given to each one of us are that there will be a judgment of the unrighteous, and that will come in God's timing. So what does Solomon say to us about life on earth here, serving the Lord, trying to seek righteousness, trying to live lives of justice, trying to be a witness to those around us who don't yet know God? He says, I know that those who fear God will be better off. What does it mean to fear God? Some people get the wrong idea and they think of cowering in the corner. It means we live differently. It means we go against the tide of society at times, because we recognise the Lord Jesus for who he is. He is the all-powerful ruler. He is the King of Kings. He is the creator of all things. But we do need to have a reverential fear of God. And that's something that's been lost, perhaps in our society, in some of our churches. One of the phrases that our American friends like to say is, everything's awesome. And they'll say, the weather's awesome, the pizza's awesome. But if you think about the word awesome, it's like a deep thing. It's a reverence. It's like a wow. We should be in awe of God, because God truly, truly is awesome. That is a holy fear, a righteous fear. We should fear him, but we can approach him. We metaphorically don't have to hide from him, because Christ stands in the gap for us. He's our mediator at the right hand of Father God. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace and find grace to help us in our time of need. The closer we come to Christ, the more we learn to walk with him in the light of the gospel, to submit our thoughts, our lives and actions to his ways, the easier it is to manage life in a fallen world. Because faith isn't a fast fix. It's a journey that we start on, and it literally lasts a lifetime, doesn't it? Living a fallen world, we don't know when trouble or sickness may come. We don't know when troubles may enter our path. And Solomon looks at this in chapter 9. I'll read verse 12, chapter 9, verse 12. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so So people are trapped by evil times that fall expectantly upon them. But yet, somebody said, some wise person once have these words, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And that's something to live by, isn't it? We know who holds our futures. We know who holds the future of humanity. We know ultimately God will be God. And God will wrap up all things and have his way. Perhaps we can get carried away at times with having fun in life. And Solomon tells us having fun is what we're here for in the right way. We see that in chapter 9, verse 7. He says, go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Personally, I don't think Solomon's saying go crazy and have lots to eat and drink. Rather, he was encouraging us, stop worrying. Stop worrying about what is wrong with the world. Leave it to God. He is the judge. When we do that, we're free to live for Christ, to enjoy life that he's given us, to appreciate the blessings as we walk day by day in step with our Saviour. What we see and feel and know this side of heaven is but a mere glimpse of what God has in store for us in the future. Final verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So we ask that the Lord would bless us. Bless us as we walk the path of faith, even when there are difficulties across that path. We ask that his hand will be upon us when the road of life seems rocky. And may we seek to always keep our minds, our thoughts, and our actions focused on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen.